Splinter Vista, episode 363. I'm Ben, and I'm evil. That's right, I'm a creature of pure malice. It's not that I have no regard for the safety of myself or the people around me. It's that I actively wish for the destruction of both parties. I'm basically the devil himself, and I'm going to kill you. That's right, I'm a driver on the LA freeway system. I'm taking the 101 downtown. I'm taking surface streets because of traffic backed up on 110. I'm pulling off the 405 and onto La Cienega. I'm doing 145 miles an hour alone in the car in the HOV lane and flashing my lights and honking my horn at the car in front of me that's only doing 140. I need to drive 35 minutes to go to the shops to get a vitamin water, and I need to get there yesterday. And I'll fucking kill you if you drive near me, and I'll kill you in a way that will make it almost impossible to identify you or the car afterwards. Also with me, driving a 2007 Toyota Camry that clearly has all the hallmarks of having been in several traffic accidents, but doing so with the confidence of someone who has never suffered injury or misfortune, it's Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
That's just interesting, Ben, that I'm the one with all the car, with all the bingles.
The Why bingles.
Is that? All the little bingles. You've Why been is in a that? Couple what of is bingles? It about me?
Well, for one, you can't drive. Like, you don't know how to drive a car.
Well, here's the thing. Yes. I got to get to the Publix. I got to get to the Piggly Wiggly.
You got to go to the Kroger.
I need to go to the Kroger. I need a Diet Coke.
You need to go to the Ralph's.
I need to get a Dr. Pepper with coconut.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like that's like the most quintessential American thing is driving like 20 minutes to the shops to get one beverage.
Yeah.
It's being like, oh, it's really thirsty. I needed a LaCroix.
I need a LaCroix. I need a LaCroix.
Yeah. I need a – Americans drink so much of that stuff too.
They drink so many beverages. Yeah. They've always got a little
water.
Drink.
They can't just drink like water, can they? They've got to be like, oh, I need like a very lightly flavored, very lightly sparkling, calorie-free little tinned beverage thing.
Yeah. And I need to get it from the Safeway. I need to get it from the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah. I need to get it from the Circle K.
I need to go to Wawa stinkers. And get a La Croix.
That's right. I've got the Wawa for a La Croix. Do you need anything?
Wawa?
Also with me, driving a 2023 Dodge Ram Magnum XXL Arse Destroyer with the high beams on and screaming in terror because he accidentally turned his indicator on and he's never seen that blinking arrow or heard that noise before in his life, it's Theo. Hi, Theo.
Highway. Hong Kong.
Sort of this weird clicking noise coming from my dashboard, and I don't understand what it's meant to.
That's all right. That's all right. I've broken the stalk off.
Yep. Man, I...
throwing it out the window.
I don't want to give away the game here, but I very recently drove on the LA freeway system.
Yep.
Oh, man. So, like, the last thing we did before leaving the United States of America and the continent of North America was we drove from Palm Springs to Los Angeles Airport, LAX.
There's wow.
About a 2.5 hour drive. About half an hour of that, 45 minutes maybe, you're in the desert and it's like big 3-lane highways, but it's kind of empty and it's pretty nice. And we're doing that at sunset. That's not so bad. And then you get an hour and 45 minutes away from LAX and you're on the LA freeway system basically. And they're all 8-lane highways and they are full of cars. Like, it's bumper to bumper, but not bumper to bumper traffic. It's bumper to bumper and the cars are going 120 miles an hour.
Yeah. Oh.
No, 120 like kilometers an hour. But like everyone is going at full fucking speed while they are inches away from each other. No one indicates when they're merging at all. Not a single person in North America. And it was fucking terrifying. I spent the whole time just like white knuckling the steering wheel, just being like, this is it. We've had a beautiful holiday and now I'm going to die, and so is my beautiful wife. It's fucking horrifying.
One of my enduring, probably the only enduring memory I have of the second season of True Detective is the fact that the cameras treat the freeway system in California with the same sort of like ill-feeling kind of dread as like season one when they'd like pass over like a dream catcher with a dead rat hanging from it.
Yeah.
Like it's a symbol for the inhumanity that we have put upon this earth.
It's not right. It's evil.
Not right. It shouldn't be that
it's
big.
It's not a good place.
No. It's just very upsetting to be in. And it's not very nice to look at either. Like
no.
If you see Hollywood through a Hollywood lens, you know, where you just see like the nice parts and it's just like palm trees and these wide boulevards and beautiful people going to restaurants and stuff or whatever. But the majority of LA is the beast. Like, it is just run down and weird and gross and stinky, and it's nasty. So far apart.
Stinky.
So it makes me feel kind of sick in my soul being there. And then I'll see friends and they'll take me to like the one nice bar in like a 10-kilometer radius. And I'll be like, oh, this is actually really lovely. Oh, I just saw a celeb. Ooh, that's fun. And then you leave and you're like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
And this is the apocalypse.
The Beau is Afraid streets in LA. Every time you leave the nice bar.
And there's one train there apparently, and it goes from the sewer to the abattoir.
Yeah. I've got like one friend who lives there who actually uses the trains because he happens to be in like, by freak chance, his apartment and his work are on the train line, but no one else has that.
Yeah.
Like, it is just...
It rocks that there's like all these people in all of these cars all going the same direction, filling up this enormous, just mind-bogglingly large piece of concrete that could be condensed into like, you know, 6 train cars.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. It's fucked up. And we're the first person to notice this about America as well.
Yeah, I heard that LA is crazy.
Yeah, LA is
nuts, but it's where it's happening, man.
It's
That's where you've got to go.
Baby.
Yeah, it's crazy, but we love it that way, you know? Also with me, sitting in a Tesla, firing a gun into passing cars at random just to thin down the traffic a little bit, it's Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
What's up? I'm trying to get to my hype house.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to the hype house I live in with a bunch of other 40-year-old men. We're going to make it happen.
Living in a LinkedIn hype house?
We still got hype houses?
I met a bunch of other like 40-year-old business analysts and product designers, and we think we've got a shot. We think we got a shot at like having it take off, getting some sponsorship, being the new FaZe Clan, you know?
Yeah. But for those blue check X posts that are like 1,000 words that are about, here's what reading about Sumatra taught me about business techniques. Yeah.
As soon as I see the read more in blue at the bottom of a X post, I shoot my screen with a gun.
Yeah.
I will never expand one of those posts. And I also enjoy that everyone normal on the site is observing the poster's duty, which is to never make that show more prompt appear.
Yeah.
If you are to post at all.
For some reason,
the death of the soul.
On mobile, I think, at least on my phone, the show more is in the same color as the other text. So you just end up with these, like, they sneak up on you, the long reads. You'll be reading what you think is a regular length tweet, and then it'll just be like, and that's why I show more. I'll be like, oh, fuck, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm jetting. Peace. I didn't come to Twitter to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I came here to watch funny videos.
Yeah.
Man. So LA, pretty bad at the moment. As it has always been. This is just a little bit of an update from being in America based on the things that we complain about.
Oh, have you got some observations?
Yeah, so based they have PayPass now.
Are they humorous observations?
Not really, no.
Are they PayPassing?
Yeah, PayPass more or less everywhere.
Oh, it finally made its way over there.
Right, so they got that shit sorted out. So well done to the United States of America on PayPass. Very convenient, easy way to pay for stuff.
Yeah.
The big cars are unbelievably fucking bigger and way more common than they ever have been. Like, it was bad the last time I was there. This time, mostly outside of California. I don't know if they tax them high there or whatever, but like when we're in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico, the cars were just like joke big.
They're like monster trucks. Like,
basically monster
silly
trucks. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Would you rather put your own money into having a giant Mad Max truck, or
we're talking like $80,000 Australian?
Yep.
Starting.
Or would you rather that Uncle Sam put his hand in your pocket and used it to fix up some of those roads?
Yeah.
Which one? Because
we
can't.
You don't
have
need
both
to fix them if your car's got bigger wheels.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not hitting those potholes, you know.
Ideally, you can drive a smaller car into the pothole and kind of compact it down with your car.
That's right.
Smooth the way, you know?
You see a big pothole coming, you sort of maneuver behind a Fiat 500, and then you PIT maneuver it into the pothole, drive straight over the top, problem solved.
And that's also kind of paying it forward for the big truck drivers behind you.
Yes.
Yes.
It's pay called it kindness. You know, maybe we don't have to help the people around us by like paying taxes and by being like a part of society.
Yeah.
Maybe we just fill in the potholes by putting little cars in there and crushing them.
What happens to good old fashioned community car crushing?
Yes,
average Fiat.
Yeah. I heard, which is probably no concern for the American state of their infrastructure or anything, that like road wear scales with the fourth power of axle weight. So if you double the amount of weight on your axles, you are doing, what's 2 to the power of 4, Ben? That's 16. 32. You're doing 16 times the amount of damage to the road? That rocks.
That's so bad. Also, yeah, the roads are in a fucking terrible state everywhere we went, which seems like probably not a coincidence.
Probably not. You know, well, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
We finished taxing. We've worked out we can't do that anymore, so...
Yep. We'll just sort of let everything figure itself out. It probably will. Hey, yeah. I think America's going to be just fine. And we check in on America in a segment we call America Watch.
America.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for leaving this in. This story was really important to me. So it's from WBTW News. Hey, by the way.
By the way.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Hey, before you go, it's like Columbo News. One more thing.
Hey, one more thing. Myrtle Beach area gym to host 9/11 donation workout.
That's beautiful.
All right.
Okay.
Pretty normal.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Let's all try and imagine that for a second.
Let's just try. No, you don't have to imagine because it's going to be described to you. Myrtle Beach.
You don't have to donate to 9/11 anymore.
They already did it.
They already did it.
You can't stop it.
They raised those funds.
They bought that copy of Flight Simulator.
Yeah. Big tick on the Kickstarter for that one.
Yeah.
They got their stretch goals and everything.
Myrtle Beach area gym is inviting community members to a donation workout to honour those who died in September 11, 2001, terrorist attack. Thank you. Huh. CrossFit Myrtle Beach on Whack-A-Mole Boulevard is conducting Whack-A-Mole Boulevard.
I couldn't. It would start hurting.
Is conducting the event to raise money for a foundation that helps first responders, veterans, and their families. Anthony Mazzariello, a retired Marine and New York City firefighter. Tony Mazzariello, a New York City firefighter who helped save lives on 9/11, planned the inaugural event. He said he hopes it will become an annual fundraiser. Me, being a retired New York City fireman and former Marine, I wanted to do something with the community here, he said. They're not really aware of it, but coming in when I relocated here, this gym helped me bounce back a lot. And I just kind of wanted to bring those people who helped me out so much, even unknowingly helped me out, bring them together to do some greater good for a good cause.
Can I just ask real quick, does everybody else get the really strong impression that this guy starts every sentence with being a retired New York City fireman and former Marine?
Oh,
absolutely.
No doubt.
I will need a bag for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw the freak libertarian guy that was going for a seat in like a local election in Sydney. I don't know. People were dunking on him. He looks terrible. He's got no chin, etc.
Yep.
And he was he was railing against identity politics and going like, you know, have you ever noticed how many people start their sentences with like, as a bisexual mother? But like,
I'm always saying this.
As a bisexual stepmother. Yeah. But like for Tony Maserati, obviously he's got his
Tony Mozzarella.
Tony Maserati was a New York City firefighter for 24 years. In the Marine Corps, he was deployed to Iraq twice after 9/11.
Yeah, stupid place to be.
Yeah, dumb place to be.
Dumb place to go. Nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
After 9/11. Nothing to do. Remember that. Hey.
You think that was a good thing?
You remember, like, you got confused. By the people.
Got really confused.
Got really conf- got confused by kind of like the people kind of maybe being all the same to you.
You're not very familiar with like the geography of the Middle East and like the countries and the and like you didn't know which one was which, so you kind of
You fucked up. You went over there because you kind of assumed a Pan-Persia.
Yeah,
you did Pan-Persia.
Yeah,
I think you know, to be a little more. To show a little more generosity of spirit, which we like to do on this show, I'm going to assume that it was more like one of those interstitial scenes in a movie where you see the world map and you see the dotted line as they're kind of traveling, and then maybe there's a bit of a mix-up, and then you just kind of end up in Afghanistan.
You see the spruce goose that he's flying on over the Middle East, and it's gone around one of the, like, here be dragons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and instead of going,
you see the co-pilot holding the map upside down, and it's like, I can see how that could happen.
It is so far from New York to Afghanistan. Why not stop over in beautiful
Iraq?
Well, was beautiful Iraq.
Yeah. Well, they don't. They didn't have like smartphones either.
No.
2002, 2003. No. So probably didn't have Google Maps on his phone. So
it's pretty incredible that they got that close.
He'd written the instructions down on a little piece of paper.
You're like, oh, it's a desert.
Yeah.
It's kind of desert-y.
This seems right. Yeah.
Tony designed each part of the donation workout to represent an important number in the 9/11 attack.
There's 9 and 11.
Yes.
There are 4 heat times starting at each time a plane went down that day.
No. No, don't.
Tony
Mozzarella. Come on.
After the rounds, there are 110 push-ups for the number of floors in the World Trade Center.
You should have got him doing that thing. Remember, there's like an old video of some fitness girlies doing the 9/11 challenge where you get on the Stairmaster and you do 110 flights.
Yeah, except he's doing his heat times. Yeah. Like, Pentagon and workout time.
Just like the towers, I would collapse halfway.
Just yelling while everyone's working out. Second plane has hit the tower. Second plane, let's go. Get on the floor.
Let's go, guys.
This is really stupid.
It's really fucking stupid. It's really dumb that you did that.
Baby brain. So soft-headed.
He wants participants to feel a certain way after the workout.
Uh-huh.
Exhausted, because what they're working out for is very important, he said. Who they're working out for.
You can't, like, dedicate a workout to, like, there's no relationship between these two things. I'm working out for you, people that died at 9/11.
Yeah.
What if he kind of made it themed and he's, like, crushing up asbestos and running it through one of those big fans they've got there?
Yes. Yeah, they should be covered in dust and blood.
Yeah.
Just coming past while you're doing your push-ups, throwing a handful of asbestos in your face.
Feel it. Breathe it in.
There's a $20 donation. All proceeds go to the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation, which gives American heroes and their families mortgage-free and accessible homes.
That's nice.
Even if some community members do not participate in the workout, Tony Mozzarella encourages them to modify their workout, donate, and cheer others on.
Kind of make it 9/11.
Can you just make your one at home? 9/11 Pilates, maybe?
Can you do like 9 reps of like 11 kilos just this morning? Yeah. Just for me. Just like, if this was for, I mean, look, I'm sure the charity does good stuff. Whatever. We literally don't know anything about it. But if this was more for like, oh, it's for people that have, they've got fucking emphysema because they were at the towers as a firefighter or whatever. This is for their ongoing care because they can't afford their fucking medical bills, whatever. I'd be like, oh, okay. There is a very direct relationship between what you're doing and this. That's awesome. Good on you, Tony Mozzarella.
Yeah. Your system has failed you. You're filling in the gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a little more kind of vague. It gives American heroes and their families.
Yeah, what's an American hero? It kind of feels like some of that money's going to Chris Kyle.
Chris Kyle's an American
hero.
Chris
Kyle's getting that money?
Yeah, this is for Chris Kyle's family.
Do 9/11 Pilates for Chris Kyle? The greatest thing I ever did with my life was firefighting and the Marine Corps, he said.
Those are two things. It's also all of the things. Pretty much all the things you did with your life.
Pretty much all the things you've done, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
If I had to do it again, same scenario, I wouldn't say no. I'd probably do it again.
Okay, well, don't water down your impassioned statement with a probably.
Yeah.
Go to Iraq. You went to Iraq and you do it again.
You do 4 tours total of Iraq? You go back twice?
Quadruple Iraq?
I'm seeing double. 8 tours of Iraq.
Also, does that mean you want a second 9/11 to happen? Yeah. So you could be a first responder?
So you can be another first responder?
Or second responder. Because he's done it before.
Yeah. Just in terms of like an attitude, there's a big difference between saying yes and not saying no. You know what I mean?
Probably.
It's like, do you really love your
country?
Would
I do it again? Oh, like, I haven't really thought about it, I guess. Yeah.
Do you want to save America from the mystery menace overseas? Yes. Yeah. Or, well...
Somewhere over there?
I won't
Latvian
say no.
Guys, I think.
Yeah, you say, assuming we wind up in the right place, sure.
Yeah.
What do we got going on in Iran?
Yeah.
Let's mix it up a little.
Do I get to pick where we go?
Hey, that sounds like a uniquely American phenomenon. There is another uniquely American phenomenon we examine, and we examine that in the Clipping Report.
I love when we examine stuff.
We do. We kind of look at things and we kind of figure them out. That's what this podcast is.
We're really putting things under a microscope and just seeing what makes it tick.
Yes, sunlight is the best disinfectant, and this sunlight comes from our eyes. As we look at stuff, we talk about it on a podcast. Police are conducting an internal investigation after a sergeant with the LAPD accidentally fired a round into a tile floor while handling another officer's gun while on duty. Hey, let me look at that real quick. Pop.
Yeah.
I love how many of these just make you immediately try to picture the sequence of events, like preceding this, you know?
Can I look at that? Can I hold that?
Oh, you got that custom engraving on there?
And two cops are just finishing up their KFC lunch. Hey, can you get my pistol? It's just over there on the table.
Pop.
Oh, you had the safety removed from your gun? Show me. Here. Bang.
Oh, you got that new pearl on the handle? Handle.
Does it say what kind of gun it
hold,
is?
Not a gun.
Guns aren't supposed to be
grip.
Doing this.
It's a grip.
You got that pearl grip? Let me look at that pearl grip.
Pearl grip. Oh,
pop.
Let me touch it.
Shit.
Let me
pop.
Feel it.
Fuck. Pop. Oh, sorry. It's been a little while. Pop. No one was hurt at a Cracker Barrel in Pearl, Mississippi after
Thank
a woman's
God.
Gun fell out of her purse and discharged.
At the Cracker Barrel?
At the Cracker Barrel. Yeah.
I really hope it was a very small purse and an even smaller gun.
Tiny, tiny little gun.
Yeah. I hope it was
a little Derringer?
Yeah, like one of the little ones that a lady pulls out in like
a womanly gun, a feminine gun.
She's holding her miniature poodle in her left hand.
At
her Derringer
miniature pistol
in her
other.
Somebody was shot, but they didn't get hurt because the caliber was so small.
Didn't even feel it. Yeah.
Huh?
She's got a .022. Just went straight through. Imagine
slapping
like,
at your neck like a mosquito just got you.
What is that? Her just be like, you know what? I've got this one. Lunch is on me. Let me just get my checkbook. Bam. Pop.
Her phone starts ringing and it's at like the bottom of her bag because of course it is.
Boomer ringtone. Yeah. You know the one.
What's like with, it what's makes with... the flashlight flash as well. It's all going off.
Guys, I want to just break something down here. What's with boomers putting their phone one entire ring cycle away from being able to be found?
Yes.
Do you get what I mean?
Not being on silent, for one.
And not being on silent. It is super loud.
It's somehow
it
the
needs
loudest
to be,
setting.
It's at the bottom of their carry bag.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, is that me?
Is that me?
I think someone's
me?
Phone
like,
is
yeah,
ringing.
Yeah, man. My phone has never made a sound. I think it's you.
My is phone that has my phone blasting the theme to the bill?
Yeah.
It's probably one of these young kids here whose phone is like screaming out the iPhone marimba like default thing.
Yeah.
A man in Jackson, Tennessee suffered non-life-threatening injuries after accidentally shooting himself while in his car in the parking lot of a Sam's Club.
Yeah. Again, a lot of people getting shot by themselves in a car.
Yeah, just sort of sitting in a car.
Just sitting in a car.
Why'd you bring a gun to Sam's Club?
Yeah. What do you need that for?
Need that for.
So why are you strapped? You're at Sam's Club.
You're at Sam's Club.
What if the Iraqi menace is there?
Yeah, true.
You know? Okay. What if they've just been like biding their time, lying in wait, and one day they're going to get revenge for that whole 9/11 thing? That that mix up, that honest mistake.
You hear that distant sound? That's a 737 going towards a Sam's Club in Jackson, Tennessee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this guy's going to be there, but first he has to attend to this issue with his leg.
You know what it feels like to me is like when I get a new device, like, you know, Steam Deck. I paid, you know, too much money for this because it's a grey market import. I don't want to take it everywhere with me.
Yes.
I get to the car park in, you know, for Sam's Club.
Yeah.
Why not pull that thing out, have a little play?
Yeah. I've got the pistol from John Wick 4 where the Bowering King gives it to him and he says, "How did you get this?" Which is a crazy question to ask in the John Wick universe.
Yeah. Seems like there's a lot of guns around.
The guns are like everywhere and everyone's like a criminal mastermind. So like it's probably pretty easy. But you know, you've got that gun and that's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
So you'd like, oh man, I could just look at it while I'm waiting because my wife's inside at the Sam's Club.
Yeah.
She's taking forever looking at the deals.
She doesn't like that I've got the King's Hand pistol.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting in Sam's Club just doing like the lazy gun twirling that Doc Holliday does with his cup in Tombstone.
Right.
What if I just racked this thing a few times?
Yeah.
It's good for the soul. It's good for mindfulness.
I like the noise. I'm stimming.
Here now.
Yeah.
With your gun.
Be here now with your gun. Be present.
Put your phone down. Put the phone away.
Pick up your moment.
Phone's down, guns up, you know?
With your Colt 45.
Stop doom scrolling. Start racking that slide.
Yep.
A man in Springfield, Missouri shot himself in the leg after accidentally discharging his firearm while inside his car in the pickup line at Truman Elementary School.
Oh, brother, come on. Man,
this is the second time that we have read out exactly this happening in, I think, like 6 months of someone being in a pickup line and being like, whoops.
Yeah, the school pickup line. Sounds familiar.
I was doing some reading about the school pickup line stuff recently. I was curious about it because I'd seen people talking about it online.
Oh, we've got a TikToks. School pickup line.
Oh.
How long are you in that bad boy for?
No, not for kindy, sorry, but for the school that I am very, very local to because it's sort of in the back streets and there's no real parking for this thing. So there is a pickup line like a mile long and they got a lady on a megaphone out there like shouting out
like
surnames.
Kids' names or, oh, all right.
What?
That's mental.
Yeah.
Because like it's just a regular ass like 50K street. Here with not enough room for what they're doing, so. Eh?
But yeah, it seems like there are a bunch of places in the States where, because of the dreaded taxes, they've got rid of like all the school buses, and also they don't really do stuff like footpaths. So there's just this big radius around your school, where you, if you don't want your kid to get plowed down by an insane driver like yourself. You simply have to wait in the big line. And people talking about waiting like an hour and a half to pick their kid up from school.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And no wonder you're playing with your gun. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
An hour and fucking half.
Boring as hell. Yeah. Better rack that slide.
Better rack that fucking slide a couple times.
Why not take it down to its field serviceable parts and we'll put it back together again. And then do, I mean, it's going to be a bit awkward in your car and you got to kind of like, when the people move in front of you, you got to move too. So you might be sort of just like fumbling it a bit.
Yeah.
That's why I always take like a TV tray with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's smart. One of those ones that's got like the bean bags on the underside. Yep. So, kids wouldn't know about those these days, I don't think.
Yeah.
No.
The bean bag underside TV tray. I think.
Yeah.
A woman
It'd be an iPad tray these days.
Yes. Yeah.
You can just hold an iPad.
Like you give, really a kid, give a kid a TV remote, they're trying to swipe it.
Yes.
Like, I
don't know
understand.
What they're doing. It's ridiculous. They're taking the iPad to the dinner table rather than eating in front of the TV with a beanbag like, under a side tray.
Yeah.
Like God
Tradition.
Intended.
Like God intended.
You know what? Things started going wrong when we got rid of the beanbag underside TV tray.
Yeah,
you know, whatever happened to mutely watching The Simpsons while eating dinner, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was on at 6 o'clock, which is around dinner time.
So or the news time. If The Simpsons was a bit too mature.
Yes.
Yeah.
For you as a child.
A woman in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, suffered a bullet wound to the leg after her gun discharged when she sat down upon arrival at a bar called The Blind Pig.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
So there's video footage of this one. So she sort of takes her jacket off and she goes to sit down and puts her jacket on the chair, and then the waitress that was coming over to take her order just jumps all of a sudden. And then you see the woman that got shot who didn't jump. It's kind of like looking around, and then she looks at her leg and there's just a giant hole there.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh.
Yeah, and it's really visible in the CCTV footage. Very upsetting.
Huh. And she's like, oh, is that me?
Yeah.
Is that me? Oh, is that me?
Did I do that? fun fact I learned about this as well. So in Iowa, legal to have your gun with you at a bar up until you reach the same blood alcohol limit as driving, which, as we know, in America is 0.08. So yeah, like,
which is insane.
So you could just have your lethal weapon up until there, just in case you get into any disagreements.
Yeah, and also
about
like
how big your car should be or whatever.
Definitely someone who's like rocked up at the bar and then been like, oh, you know what? I've had a couple of drinks. I'm actually going to take my gun and put it somewhere else. I can't have this on me anymore. Yeah, that's going to happen.
You know what? I'm four beers in. Yeah. I'm blowing a 0.09. It's time to do the responsible thing. Can you just hold on to this gun for me? I've taken the round out of the chamber, which I keep in there at all times otherwise.
Yep.
Safety is on. There you go. Yeah.
Ready to go.
I'm really
pick
doubting
that up
somehow.
When I get back here tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm doubting that you start waving your gun around and a bouncer comes over and goes, hey, blow into this.
How many beers you had?
Oh, 0.07? Right you are, sir. Sorry.
Hey, buddy, maybe just have a water for now and hold on to that gun.
Hold on to that gun.
Just have a water and then come back in a little bit.
I can't take that gun off you.
Someone in Frankfort, New York suffered, quote, like minor injuries after being shot when a gun dropped by an off-duty police officer discharged at a, quote, back-to-school open house at Frankfort Schuyler Elementary School. They do not specify if the person shot was an adult or a minor. Yeah.
But it's pretty so good that the kids are being protected.
Yeah, they're protected. Yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if there was like a Rocky there or something?
Yeah, what if there wasn't a cop there with a loaded gun? You know, something bad might happen.
Yeah.
Someone might get shot. a police officer in Passaic, New Jersey, was accidentally shot at a firing range during, quote, advanced firearms training.
Okay.
Yep.
So this was probably before the training started, because afterwards
it would probably know.
Yeah, probably had the skills to not do that, I'd imagine.
Either that or it was one of those like, hey, don't do this kind of things. You know, don't do what Donnie does.
Yes. It's like the bit in Starship Troopers where he throws the knife through the hand, because you got to teach someone a lesson sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And everyone learns.
You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet, you know?
Yes. Yeah, a couple, because just one, that'd be an awful omelet. It's tiny.
No, that's an egg, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Is it egg with some stuff in it?
Unless it's an emu egg.
Yeah, true.
Which I'm told is tasty. Creamy.
A police officer in Tryon, Georgia, accidentally shot himself in the foot while, quote, securing a hallway at Tryon Middle School after it was placed in hard lockdown after receiving information that a student brought a gun to school. Well, thank God, because something bad might have happened.
Something bad could have happened.
Someone could have got shot.
Obviously, school shootings, no joke.
Yeah.
Very funny to picture.
Yeah, come on, man. So what happened here is
always secure.
The night before, a kid made a threat against the school. So they arrested that kid. And then the next day, someone gave them a tip that someone at school had a gun. So they locked down the whole school. They search all the lockers, all the bags, all the kids, everything. Don't find a gun. But this guy's wandering around, just pop. Little pop right in the foot.
Yeah.
Really shot himself in the foot there.
Huh. Yeah, I guess he did.
I guess he did, in a way.
I really thought that.
That
saying actually comes from somewhere.
I have one more for you here. There was a lot this week.
Yeah, busy.
The executive director of an NRA shooting range in Raton, New Mexico, was accidentally shot while inspecting a shipment of donated firearms. Hmm. So this is the NRA center is like, it's a bunch of shooting ranges, and I guess they do gun outreach or something. People donate guns. so that they can pass those guns on to people that need them.
Might not have. Yeah, people in need.
Yeah, the gunless.
The less fortunate, the gunless.
Yeah, the firearmless among us.
Yeah, well, look, unfortunately, when it comes to society these days, that's that's the thing. There's the have and the have-nots.
Some families don't have guns for everybody.
Some people have a lethal weapon that they can just go, bam, all at once, and some people have not.
You know, you see that statistic about like how many guns there are per people in America, but it's not like every person has 20 guns. There's some people with 1,000 and some people with none.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why it's important to take the median.
Median gun.
Median gun.
So this guy, he gets a shipment of donated firearms. While holding one of the firearms, the 65-year-old man accidentally hit the magazine release, which caused the magazine to drop out.
Sure.
Which subsequently fell onto a 22 Walter pistol on his desk, which then discharged, shooting him in the left hand.
Are you serious?
Oh no. Yes, he machined himself.
He got Rube Goldberg.
He got Final Destination.
He got mousetrapped.
It's so funny when this happens at like, you know, firing range or the NRA or what have you, where their whole thing is, you know, a safely handled gun is completely safe.
Yes, it's safer than a brick, in a way.
Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Yeah. Well, actually, this gun tried to kill you.
Yeah. It's like, it does seem like the universe was trying to kill him here, because that's a very unlikely series of events.
My experience with this segment is that guns quite frequently kill people.
Yeah.
They kind of just want to go, like...
They want to go off.
They want to go off. They're ready to go.
A loaded gun is ready to pop.
Yeah. Yes. It's just, it's ready, but you won't let it.
Yeah.
You won't let it pop. It
sometimes it takes matters into its own hands.
It wants to go pop.
Sometimes
to go
too
pop
much denial
so
is just too much. Yeah. You know?
Yes. And when that gun can't take it anymore,
yeah,
you have to go to hospital because you've just been shot in the head.
Oh, but that release is so sweet.
This was a big selection of American regions that we looked at. They're all beautiful. They're all unique. And we take a look at some of the things that happen in those regions in Regional Bullshit.
Regional Bullshit. Every little town has got their own bullshit. Regional Bullshit. Every little town has just got to have it.
Gotta love a region.
This comes to us from KOCO in Oklahoma City.
The Coco.
Four complete strangers trying to outlast each other to win free new car at Oklahoma State Fair.
Yeah. Oh, they're gooning for cars now?
They're gooning for cars.
Gooning for cars.
Yeah.
little edging competition put on by the local radio station.
The Oklahoma State Fair Try Not to Come Challenge.
And you got to keep one hand on the car the whole time too. That's the tricky bit.
If we see that you stop jerking off, you're disqualified.
You're out of here.
Hey, that hand's not moving.
So you've gone soft. You're out.
Yeah. No. You're just stroking rope at this point, brother.
Come on, buddy.
You got to get out of here.
We can all see what's happening here. Come on. Let's go.
If you think road trips are long, try sitting in a car with three other strangers for 10 days.
I know it smells crazy in there.
And
Well, you're going to love what this thing is called then. Also, just the construction, three other strangers, implies that you yourself are also a stranger in this situation.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you a stranger to
aren't
yourself?
Aren't we all, though?
Know thyself. That's what four people are doing to win a new car at the Oklahoma State Fair. They've been there since 11 a.m. on Thursday, and all of the contestants say they're in it to win it. Quote, I need me some wheels, Brian Richmond from Chakota said. Hell yeah, brother.
We have to transcribe it like that.
Imagine sweating in a car for 10 days with four complete strangers all to win a car.
Windows up, hot summer day.
Oh, it's funny that you say that as well. So,
oh, no.
10 days, just to make sure we all got that figure. That figure right there.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's happening at the Oklahoma State Fair. Quote, I was late night scrolling on Facebook and figured, why not? I'll give it a shot, Chris Deschner, who is from Arkansas, said. Quote, I've raised two boys, my husband. I've got it. I'm good, more resident Christy Myers added.
Okay.
She's raised her husband.
So she knows how to sit in a car.
I have a disgusting husband. This will be fine.
Yeah.
This is nothing compared to my husband.
And my two horrible children.
I regularly drive long distances in my large truck with my husband who only eats brisket and Boston beans.
That's right.
This will be fine.
The three Oklahomans and an Arkansan. testing their willpower to try and win a 2024 Nissan Sentra. Not very exciting.
Is that a good car?
No, it's like a little
Toyota
like,
Camry.
It's like basically a Camry. It's a regular family sedan.
Okay.
Yeah. Whoever can last inside the longest without losing, the mind wins.
What?
You can lose
How
the body.
How do they judge that?
Do not lose the mind.
Do not lose the mind.
The Stinkin' Sentra giveaway is a throwback to the 1990s when the event was a can't miss at the Oklahoma State Fair.
Oh no!
Yeah, the Stinkin' Sentra. It does smell crazy in there. Quote. Anything that is brought to them to eat in the car has to stay in the car, Oklahoma State Fair spokesperson Scott Munns said.
I don't know if we need to do that.
So they're not shitting in the car.
Okay.
Just to clarify, but he clarifies here. Quote, so if you eat half a corn dog and throw the rest in the back, that corn dog stays in there. If you eat a turkey leg, you gnaw on the meat and the bone, all that stuff stays in the car.
Nasty.
This is a real fucked up thing that they're doing.
10 days in a family size sedan, a smallish sedan with a turkey leg bone and half a corn dog and three guys. The contestants get a bathroom break every 3 hours. Other than that, though, they're left to sweat and stink.
What kind of sick shit is talking. This to be
this
like?
Is
what is wrong with you?
Up. This is messed up.
This is not good. What happened to just the like putting your hand on the car? And just staying in contact with the car. Whatever happened to that? You got to stink up a car in there with four of you? And you bits of rotten meat? Come on. While everyone is playing nice now, they won't be for long. Quote, got a few little strategies going on here, so we'll see what happens, Richmond said.
Yeah, list them.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about? What are you going to do?
Sitting strategies?
Are you going to start jacking off in there?
He's probably going to start jacking off in there. I'd probably just scream.
Yeah.
Like, what if you just scream? Is that allowed?
I think that's in the rules, I'm pretty sure.
Let's see, why not?
Quote, I have a backpack with me. Same thing. We're not going to let too much out in the open in the first couple of hours. Maybe day three we'll start getting devious around here. A more resident named Sean told Coco. What are you going to do?
When he jack off, probably gonna jack off.
Jack off in there.
Like he's gonna jack off in there.
He's gonna jack off. He's gonna be screaming and jacking off.
He's
some
doing
stuff
both.
In his backpack. He's gonna have props.
Really unnerving scream while he's doing it.
Maybe the backpack just has a gun in it. Day three. Day
get
three.
Out of the car.
Yeah, I'm gonna start twirling this gun.
Get out of the car. I'm gonna shoot you with my gun.
Mm-hmm.
Something new the contest didn't have 30 years ago is a live stream. You can see the contestants inside the car as they try their best to stay sane and drive off a winner by watching here. Guys, if you're in the document, please click on that link.
Are they still in the car?
I checked an hour ago and they were still in the car. And I think
they're still in the stinking Sentra.
Oh, yeah, they're still in there.
Oh, my God, he's shirtless.
He's shirtless.
He's shirtless. He looks so hot. Is there just two guys in there?
Yeah, two people have already left. One of the guys is just shaking his head with his arms crossed. This is the shirtless guy. Other guy's got his Beats by Dre headphones up, but not on. Curiously.
How do you find out who gets to be in the front seat? You know, I'd much rather be in one of the...
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay, good.
Because I got more here. So you can just sort of occupy yourselves by watching that.
It's pretty up. Like there's nothing happening and it's still upsetting.
Yeah.
You know?
That guy's also been shirtless for quite a while.
Are they sleeping in there?
Yeah, I think they're spending the night there because there was a bunch of blankets and pillows and stuff.
They got
in
it, okay.
Yeah. Here are some of the rules. Occupancy requirement. Contestants must remain inside the Stinkin' Centra for the duration of the contest. Contestants cannot exit the Stinkin' Centra, nor can they open a door for any reason unless explicitly permitted by the contest organizer. Contestant placement. Each contestant must occupy a designated seat and will change seats after every break or as directed by the contest organizers.
Okay, so you don't have to sit in the middle.
No, but they will be like, you're in the driver's seat, you're in the passenger seat. Three hours later, change places.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Driver's seat controls the windows. Any contestant operating the windows beside the driver will be disqualified.
Oh, so it's hot in there.
Okay. You know what that shirtless guy's doing.
Yeah.
He's rolling those windows up all the way for sure.
This seems kind of unsafe.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Physically?
I don't think you could get away with this in the nanny state over here in Australia. No,
I don't think so.
I wouldn't let you do that. Winner determination. The last contestant remaining inside the Stinkin' Centra is declared the winner. Should more than one contestant remain in the Stinkin' Centra by 8 a.m. on September 21st, 2024, contestants shall be required to exit the Stinkin' Centra and commence with the modified contest rules set forth below.
That's so far from now.
How many days would that be in total?
10 days. So they've been in there
for... 10 days is the total. Okay.
Yeah. So they've been in there for two and a half days, 3 days so far.
Oh, this is so exciting. We're watching it happen.
Yeah, isn't that kind of fucked up that we got a live feed of like a car in Oklahoma? It's all happening on the internet. So these are the modified contest rules. Contestants will select a spot on the exterior of the Stinkin' Centra to touch while standing with either their entire right or left hand.
Got classic.
So they're just doing classic style for this. Got to keep their hand on the car, blah, 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 blah. Contest shall continue until there is only one contestant left. They'll be given breaks as per before, and they will be provided with food and beverages on the same schedule as before. If there is no winner from the secondary competition by midnight on the 22nd, so that's like 16 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
Contestants shall engage in a simple game of chance by which a number between 1 and 100 is drawn at random by the contest organizer and the contestant has to guess closest without going over type rules. Hopefully it doesn't come down to that because that's quite boring.
Yeah, that's really boring.
That would be massively anticlimactic. There haven't really been any updates, like news story updates on this, but I did glean some of the happenings from some comments here. So we got a on the live stream on YouTube. Ashley is asking, what happened with Christy? If you guys remember Christy from the article.
I remember Christy. Yeah. She was completely immured because of her terrible husband.
So Taylor Winkle has said she got sick is what they said yesterday. JR says, lady got sick and the dude had to go back to work. Now the guy in shades has to smell Mr. No Shirt for a week. Another comment here from Sissy X. That's one of the listeners of the show, I think, actually. What happens if neither of these two give up at the final deadline? No one answers her, and then she writes, Romans 5:8 and John 3:16, God loves you and me, thank you, Jesus. another comment here from Aaron Cayley saying, sunglasses needs to take off his headphones and be more social with shirt off. I agree. I haven't seen these guys talking at all.
You've got to do more psychological warfare. You've got to be really fucking annoying. Well, like, that's the move.
Brock agrees with you. Brock Legend, he says, I bet he's trying to psych out his opponent. Total mind games. I bet he trained mental games.
I'm in that car doing the most annoying sound in the world from Dumb and Dumber for 8 hours a day.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like quoting Deadpool. I'm doing Deadpool bits.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing all of the Monty Python routines that I remember just like the whole time.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the other guy to do it with me.
I'm getting it wrong though.
We're all laughing. Knee.
I'm acting out the entirety of what I believe the first season of the US Office that I haven't watched would be like.
Yes. Based on your knowledge of the UK Office and the actors that are in the American Office.
And the gifs that I've seen of the show. And, you know, so a couple of days in, I'm like, okay, episode 8.
Yeah.
Jim's doing a prank.
Gotta add a subplot here, I think. Now for people that wanted to sort of keep track of the guys that we learned about in the article, so Brian, who said he needs him some wheels, He's Mr. No Shirt.
He's Mr. Shirtless. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Chris, who is doing some late night scrolling on Facebook, he's sunglasses.
He's sunglasses. He's got shades. Well, I'll probably take him off.
This guy, I think this guy is a predator. He knows. He's been looking for his opportunity.
Oh, you think he's like an operator?
He's an absolute operator. This is going to be his fourth free smelly car.
I reckon, I feel like Brian wants it more. The fact that he popped his shirt off almost immediately to me says that he has a good good instincts about him.
Yeah, he's got the intuition. He's got
a hot car.
He's committed.
Yeah, he also has a crazy look in his eyes, like just from watching the live stream. Man, he's so sweaty.
Yeah, I'm backing him.
Yeah, he's doing sort of mouth movements like, it's dry.
Yeah.
He's fidgeting a lot. I think it's going to get crazy in there.
I think it is going to. It's really distressing to watch it. I feel like someone's going to die in this.
Yeah, I feel like we shouldn't actually be allowed to have an unmoderated camera on this. Like there should be a third party in between that's like cut away, cut to B-roll.
What's the feeling on getting the car if the other contestant dies?
I mean,
rules is rules.
Rules is rules.
Mm-hmm. It's your fucking car,
I guess you came in knowing the dangers.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
I'm sure you're signing a crazy waiver in that.
Don't get on the dance floor if you're not ready to
dance.
If you're getting into that car, you're gonna have to put your soul at hazard.
Yes,
you're gonna have to put your chips forward and go out and meet something you don't understand. You're gonna have to say, "Okay, I'll be a part of this world."
I think shirtless guy, I can really picture him saying out loud at some point, only one person is leaving this car alive.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely, yes. The Oklahoma State Fair. It seems like nothing bad would ever happen there.
Phew.
Wrong. And we're going to find out what happened in Crime Watch. It's time for Crime Watch.
Please put down your weapon.
This comes to us from Coco. Again, it's KOCO in Oklahoma City.
Coco.
Police recover Disney on Ice wigs stolen from Oklahoma State Fairgrounds.
Oh, thank God. We joke about a lot of stuff, but this has been keeping me up at night.
Some things are sacred, all right? Police recovered tens of thousands of dollars worth of wigs that were stolen from the Oklahoma State Fairgrounds.
There's a makeup artist going, so what, like 3 wigs?
Yeah.
Yes.
3 licensed Disney wigs?
We got someone good with that one the other day for something insanely specific. Oh, it was the
HVAC pump.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
The wigs were for actors set to skate this weekend for the annual Disney on Ice show during the Oklahoma State Fair. The performances are scheduled to begin on Thursday, with the wigs now in the hands of the Oklahoma City Police Department.
So what, they're going to skate?
So, yeah, don't the performers need them for the magic of the children? The children of the Oklahoma State Fair?
How long
does
it take for the cops to take the wigs back? Well, they got something better on.
Is this civil asset forfeiture?
Yeah.
Are they going to hold it for 90 days or whatever? I can't remember all the details of Rebel Ridge. I was kind of drunk when I was watching it a little bit.
What a film.
That would be great, though. Surveillance video showed a suspect stealing the wigs from the fairgrounds less than 1 week before the opening day of the state fair. I bet someone said that, like, verbatim. The wigs are gone? There's less than 1 week before opening day of the state fair.
Doing a Logan Lucky heist.
Yeah, imagine wigs. If you were the guy that pulled off the Oklahoma State Fair Disney wig heist. You'd never buy a beer again.
I was going to say, when did they stop calling it the Ice Capades and start calling it Disney on Ice? Apparently, it was the Ice Capades first, and then they started having Disney characters in Ice Capades, And then Disneyland started hiring away those performers for their own shit at Disneyland. And then there's a split and they started doing Disney on Ice. And a falling
out.
Yeah,
I never heard of Icecapades.
Does Icecapades still exist?
I thought it was Disney on Ice when I was a kid.
Yeah. What's a mousecapade?
That's something totally different.
Something completely different. Okay. Yeah. When they arrested this guy, do you reckon they opened the door and he's wearing just, he's just got,
he's like
beautiful
Elsa.
Long Elsa hair.
Yes. Really nice braid, yes, you've got officer? There, brother.
Fuck. You know, at the end of
I grew
taking,
it myself.
The end of taking Pelham 1-2-3, where like he just goes to close the door and then he hears the guy sneeze and he knows that it's him.
Mm. Yep.
Officer's just about to leave, and he sees the wig just sort of fall slightly off the guy's head.
Wait a minute.
Just one more thing.
Quote, it's unclear at this point if the person knew these wigs were in there or if this was somebody who wandered into one of the buildings. Master Sergeant? Major Sergeant.
Miss Sergeant?
Tipping my sergeant. Police sergeant. Fedora.
Dylan Quirk with the Oklahoma City Police Department said.
Oh, my sergeant's quirked up with it. All right.
It's quirked up, Sergeant. Got to get me one.
What are they asking?
Like, crime is it an opportunistic?
Yeah.
Crime
of opportunity.
Just some guy wandering around opening doors and be like, well, hey, that's $10,000 a week. I'm going to take that.
Or was it maybe one of those fun mistakes in a heist where they've put a lot of effort into planning and stealing a safe and then they get it back to their warehouse and they finally open it up and they're like, ah.
Yeah.
This appears to be a series of wigs.
Yeah, but in an ironic twist, they're actually worth a huge amount of money.
Yeah, but they've already thrown them off the bridge.
Yes.
Like the end of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking
Barrels.
Yes. Just mentioning movies now.
Film references, just mentioning films today.
Just to make work for the people that put the film references in the wiki articles for the podcast.
Who are not getting paid or...
getting any benefit from that, apart from personal satisfaction.
Yeah. Pretty good. I was just randomly clicking through the wiki this morning and being like, huh, that episode we recorded 4 years ago, we mentioned Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, but not the other two. Interesting.
That's the best one.
And technically us mentioning that we had mentioned something also counts as a mention, so put that on the list as well. Fairground officials say the Jim Norrick Arena, the building where the wigs were housed, was secure. Or was it? What's up now when your wigs are gone?
Yeah. It's funny.
Do you feel secure right now? Putting my hand on the shoulder of the guy that runs the Jim Norrick Arena. Yep. Do you feel secure?
Is your wig secure?
That's another movie reference to write in the thing.
Notch that one up.
Feld Entertainment, the entity that oversees the popular ice skating show Disney on Ice, presents Magic of the Stars.
Yeah.
That's a long name.
What happens when we felled, Mr. Wayne?
told KOCO that it has, quote, taken immediate steps to enhance security measures to prevent any future incidents. He's got the fucking South African mercenary guy from the beekeeper now, guarding the wigs.
Beekeeper, write that down.
Write that down. Oklahoma City police said most of the wigs were recovered, but no arrests have been made. Where were the wigs?
Where were the wigs?
Where were the fucking wigs?
Where did you find the wigs?
Were they not near the person that took the wigs? They dumped by the side of the highway? Were they floating in the river? Quote, this is great. I feel like this is a long-running genre of police quote that we've had on this show. Step one is identifying them and possibly making an arrest, Quirk said.
Yeah, I guess that is step one.
Just stating ideally what would happen.
I think you already did step one, is you found the wigs.
Yeah. So
I think that
step
might be
two,
step two.
Find the person that stole the wigs and maybe, I don't know, do some like police stuff with those guys. If you get the chance.
Sorry, I was distracted. They're playing Kiss quite loudly at the Oklahoma State Fair and Brian is really enjoying it. He's nodding his head. Kiss fan.
Oh, he is. He's sort of doing a little side-to-side bop and a little forwards.
Well, see, he's practicing mindfulness, you know. He's finding joy where he can in a difficult situation, and that's what's going to get him through.
He's fist pumping.
If you're having a bad time and you look over at him and he's just like, he's vibing.
Yeah, that really
he's in his
off.
Element. You got to feel pretty bad.
I tell you what, he looks in better spirits.
He's in way better spirits. I'm back in, is that Brian? Shirtless Brian?
Yeah, Brian. Brian, shirtless man.
For sure.
Brian, No Shirt, whatever his last name is. Also, I think people keep like walking by and asking him how long he's been in there because he keeps holding up like three fingers.
Oh.
Or that means he's a three percenter.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Could be one of those ones. The entertainment company said that the Wigs were inside the arena while performers were rehearsing for the upcoming tour. So they were doing a no-wig rehearsal. Wigs are still in secure wig storage.
How do you even kind of get the same vibe?
Yes.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't the wig make the man?
Yeah.
In a way. The Wigs are, quote, crucial to maintaining the enchanting and authentic appearance of our beloved characters, according to the company.
Get out there. Elsa's got a bald spot.
You'd be really shocked by how many professional ice skaters are white people with dreadlocks, I tell you.
Yeah.
And something just not the same.
And we've got to do a last minute pivot to a Matrix Reloaded musical where every single character is one of the twins.
Yeah.
Those at the fairground said the building was secure when the wigs were stolen. The police are investigating how the suspect got inside. I think it was a sort of like a inside man type situation.
Yeah, I think someone knew where the wigs were. Like, yeah. I think they went straight for those wigs.
Yes.
They got the contortionist from Ocean's 11.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just basically didn't take the wig off, so they packed him with the rest of the wigs. Lights go off, pops out of the wig.
The Disney on Ice show is set to go on as scheduled. But they don't have all the wigs.
I think you could just probably buy an aerial wig at the shop.
Yeah. They show up with eBay like, aerial wigs.
You guys
wigs.
Got a reject shop over
just
there.
Go and get a knockoff Elsa Icy Princess costume.
Yeah, get
and
the
then
Ice
sort of
Princess
take the wig
costume.
Out.
Easy.
Yeah, the crowd's really far away, by the way.
Yes.
They can't
so
see
far
your
away.
$5,000 wig.
And they're kids. They're already going to be disappointed that the kid doesn't, like, that the characters don't look like cartoons.
Yeah.
That it's just like some fucking lady.
It's just a lady. Cares? They know it's a lady.
Yeah. And that's they have no idea about details either. Kids are just like, they're not very critical. Their media literacy is very low.
Yeah. But very, very in tune with vibes, though.
Yeah.
Good eye for vibes.
Yeah. If they
child.
Could, if you get out there and you're visibly having a bad time because you haven't got the right wig on.
Yeah.
They'll know.
Yes.
That's not what's Gaston. That's a twink. They hate that.
That was definitely an episode of the podcast. Bunta Vista, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really hope this live stream is still up when
the
podcast comes
out. Yeah, I want you guys
out.
To be able to see this so bad. I'll chuck a link in the episode
it.
Description. But I suspect these guys will be at it for a little while. If you want more of this podcast, you can subscribe to the Patreon. If you already do, thank you. We like you so much more than our Rego, Normo, Freebo listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of seem cooler, like you're more effortless to hang with. You know how some people, you like hanging out with them, but at the end you're like, oof, I need some downtime.
Yeah.
You're not like that at all.
That was
I feel
an effort.
Energized.
I feel
by
like I can just
you.
Relax. I can unmask. I can be myself around
yes.
you. Yeah.
Your house genuinely feels like my house to me in the way that it's like a.
I just open your fridge.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll put my foot up on your furniture, not in a way that's like gross, but like I'm not worried about pissing you off because we're so comfortable and easy with each other.
Call
so
your mum by
you.
Her first name.
Yeah.
Hey Barbara. Suze.
You're looking great.
I'm good
haircut.
Today.
And I'll start feeling that way about you if you start subscribing to the Patreon now.
Yeah.
We will see you on the bonus episodes, maybe otherwise. We'll see you next week. Stay safe out there. Good luck to Brian. You're our boy.
Mm-hmm.
Get
I'm
it,
looking
Brian.
Looking at you right now, Brian. You look sweaty.
He looks real sweaty.
Bye.
Yeah, see ya.
Bye-bye. Yeah.